Welcome to Find the Magic, the podcast that will help you honor yourself, your kids, and your partner.
We'll give you tips and strategies to create peace and authenticity within your family.
We inhale a ridiculous amount of books and life tools and distill the information for you. I'm Terilyn Griffin.
I'm Caitlin Gabriel.
And I'm Felicia Allen. Let's find the magic together.
Hey everybody, this is Terilyn and I have a facepalm this morning. You guys know that Wednesday mornings is when we record at 5:30 in the morning and Tuesday nights are my latest night of the week. So I'm always coming into this with my least amount of sleep of the week. But last night, my four-year-old was up. I'm talking so much in the night with like having, I think, nightmares. I'm not sure. It was very sad. Like he was just sad and crying and like moving around all the time. And I tried it in his bed. Anyway, I tried snuggling with him in his bed, then just brought him down to our room. And anyway, it was one of those nights where I'm not kidding. It's like 3 a.m. and you're like, can it just be over? Like, let's just go. Let's go record the podcast right now. So kind of, I'm feeling a little whiny, but that is my facepalm. That nightmares. I'm grateful that they don't happen often, but I don't know what was going on.
You just realized what's going on.
I think I just realized.
Did you guys watch a spooky show?
We didn't, but we've been doing a lot of like Halloween, like spooky stuff lately. Mm. And my older kids love it. I mean, it's not like scary, but maybe that's just kind of rubbed off a little bit.
Yeah.
Did you do the witch's dinner?
We did the witch's dinner last night, mm-hmm. And I was a cackling kind of scary witch.
Oh. Well,
so maybe that's
Liam's just like thinking about you.
maybe I got into character a little bit too much.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, so there you go.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. That is not fun. This is Caitlin. Mine is a high five, and I feel like I've actually made a few really good things this week, like cooking wise. Mm. I'm going to just name two of them, but they were so good. One of them, so I love squash. I was telling Felicia, and I thank you this, Terilyn, but I always kind of have a hard time like knowing what to do with squash because I always think of it as a side and sometimes it doesn't go with just anything. Mm. But Felicia, did you just make up those recipes or did you read them somewhere?
Yeah, I just made up the acorn squash one.
Okay, well, so it was so good. Felicia just conjured up this amazing recipe, which this is not the first time she's done this. And it was
and
so good.
And she wrote it down, Mom.
Yeah.
She wrote it down.
Yeah,
recorded.
That's true.
My mom, yeah. She's always like, did you write this down? Because we can't mimic it unless you write it down, okay? Because Felicia doesn't write it down.
And then she doesn't remember them. So it actually is good when she's written them down because I still... Anyway, so long story short, back to the squash. I had some squash. She made this thing and I was like, oh my gosh, I really want the recipe. But it is so good. It's like Thanksgiving in one dish. Mm-hmm. It's so good because like the squash is the main thing. So you like make the squash and you put all the stuff on top. Anyway, it is so good. And when I was making it and when we were eating it, I mean... Cameron and my baby are both, like, not picky eaters at all. They like everything. But I feel like all of us were just, like, the whole time, like, oh, this is so good. Oh, my gosh, this is so good. So, anyway, so that was awesome. I'll put the recipe in the email if you're interested.
Yes.
It was so good. And then the other one that and she actually had two squash recipes that were amazing. But, anyway, it was very good. And then the other thing that I made was this banana pudding from... the Magnolia, like Chip and Joanna Gaines, that Magnolia bakery, or not bakery, Magnolia recipe book.
Which that cookbook I love.
It's really good. But I just made their banana pudding, and it's really yummy. And it's actually very easy. So, anyway, that was also a high five for me. Good cooking week this week.
Mm. That's, every time I have a good week, I just want to, like, pat myself on the back.
I know.
Planning and cooking.
Yes. I know.
I just want to tell people.
Yes.
I know. So, I love
gold stars, please.
I know.
I've cooked
it.
Every night.
Fall is my favorite time to cook.
Because it's, like, it starts to get kind of cold. I feel like during the summer, I just kind of, like, ride it off altogether. So, fall, I kind of pick up my mantle again to cook. Yes. And I'm, like, ready to go. I'm excited. So.
It's true. All right. I have a high five, and that is our episode on traditions, really, because it reignited my excitement for the holidays, which is the only thing that gets me through winter. I'm going to be honest. I'm not a winter gal. And so As soon as New Year's Day ends, I'm like, no.
All right. What time is it? Ready for spring.
2 months of, in Utah at least, 2 to 3 more months of pretty bitter weather.
Yeah.
So, high five to traditions. We did our witches' dinner on Monday. Some of you guys have been sharing your witches' dinner and what you're doing with us on social media, which I am loving. It's just so fun.
It is fun.
It really is fun about this time of the year that can kind of dull out the weather annoyance. So we want to give a shout out to our sponsors real quick. Our first sponsor this week is Parasol, the diaper subscription. We mentioned them last week. I wanted to tell you guys about their wipes this week. They are very durable, which is huge for me with wipes. Yeah. I hate flimsy wipes. I also do not like when you pull one wipe out and the rest starts. Just keep coming.
Because you only have one hand to pull it out.
Yes.
You're wrangling the child.
Exactly.
With the other hand, so.
And I don't know if any moms can relate to the grab the wipe and then like shake it really hard to get the whole bag disconnected. Mm-hmm. There's also those that are annoying.
Yeah.
So I feel like Parasol does neither of those. They're strong. They are unscented, hypoallergenic, water-based, all the things that are good for our baby's bums, but they actually do clean. So they're great for sensitive skin, but I feel like they do a really great job cleaning, and they come with your subscription with the diapers.
Yeah.
You don't have to do them separate, and I feel like it's the right amount for the amount of diapers. I don't know how they figured that out. Some sort
They've
of magical
mastered it.
Way. So we're loving those. And we have a code for Parasol for 20% off your first subscription. That is Find the Magic.
Yep.
And their website is parasolco.com. So
yes, last week we said parasol.com, which who even remembers URLs and types them in, right? We'll link it for you.
Yeah.
Take that off your brain.
Yes. Yeah, take it out of your brain. I also want to say, because I've been using the wipes, and I really love them, because I think sometimes I've had wipes, too, where they, like, leave almost like a little lint.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I've had that before, and I just wasn't sure because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel about the wipes, but I love them. Mm-hmm. They're awesome. So, yep, I love it. Our other sponsor is Blue Blocks. As some of you guys remember, we did an episode with them a couple of weeks ago, and I actually just got my Lumi light bulbs, which is their specific light bulb that they have. So they have two different kinds. There's a red, there's one that's like a full red, and then there's one that's, it's called the Summer Glow, and it's kind of more of an orangey light. And I just barely installed them. So that's been really fun, because it's nice because you can kind of strategically place them in your house. Like, I have them in my bathroom, which is nice because at night, when you are getting ready and stuff, it's nice to be able to take out all that blue light.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels good. So we also have a code with them. If you use Find the Magic, you'll get 15% off. And they have glasses that can help block blue light. They've got their light bulbs. They've got a lot of really awesome products that are just great. And as we talked about before, it can just really affect our overall health just by improving our light hygiene.
And if you're having trouble sleeping, I would say start. Look at your light hygiene. Mm-hmm. It really can be game changer.
Yeah, it's low-hanging fruit. And their website is blueblocks.com, which is BLUBLOX.com.
Yep.
Today, we are going to be talking about a subject that is so near and dear to each of our hearts. We've talked about raising boys a few times, and because all three of us are women, it's kind of like this world of, you know, that we don't have personal experience with, because we weren't boys as children, right? So, but now that we're raising boys, it's an area of interest. Today we're going to be talking about girls and raising girls. And this one is so, oh my goodness, it kind of makes me get teary-eyed thinking about, because as girls, we all have experienced what it's like to be a girl in our society. The great things about it that are amazing, and the parts that are hard. So today we're going to be talking about that, talking about how to help our daughters thrive in the ways that they can in the amazing time that we live. They do have a lot of great opportunity, and at the same time, talking about what we can do to help temper those pieces of society that aren't feeding our girls things that will serve them, and what we can do as parents to kind of be the antidote to those negative messages.
And when I came to social media and asked you guys if you had any questions about raising daughters, I would say the overarching theme from most of you were questions about teaching that she is more than pretty, instilling good body image and self-worth in the media. Those are the big themes. And so I would say that would be our focus today, is teaching about how we can instill that really in our daughters, because it really is overwhelming how the media portrays women. And after discussing it and thinking about it, how really, at least I've internalized, and subconsciously we do put a lot of our value on how we look. And I think it is something you have to intentionally chip away at, because mm-hmm. I think we all have that inside of us a little bit. And so I think the first thing is, from when they are just little babies and toddlers and little kids, teaching them to know their value is in all the things that they do, and in their brain, and in their strong bodies, their and their character. Abilities, their character, and not just in how they look. It's so easy to praise how our kids look,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and which I don't mm-hmm. think it is. We're talking about how there's sort of a different feeling. We're talking about, it is like your kids are just so cute, you just want to eat them. Mm-hmm. And I think that feels a lot different, that like motherly, snuggly, and like delicious, like you're just, I could just eat your cheeks, is a lot different than your legs are so like thin, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they look really nice in those new jeans. I feel yeah. like it's like a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think oftentimes we focus on that with girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And how we talk, for me, there's a big difference between, oh my goodness, you're so cute, to a little mm-hmm. toddler, mm-hmm. when I'm nibbling mm-hmm. on them, versus, especially when you're talking to somebody else in front of your kids about them, that to me is a really important narrative. So if my daughter or son, but you know, since we're talking about girls, this comes up a lot with toddler girls. I mean, we're tiny. How often do you just sit there and be like, oh my gosh, look at her eyelashes, look at the dress. And then as you're talking to this other adult, right, that all you're pointing out is just physical characteristics. Mm-hmm. So again, we're not saying don't mention physical characteristics. In fact, for me, I think that something I love that my parents did, I felt like they thought I was beautiful, but it was like a...
all-encompassing.
But it was like an after effect almost. Like, that's not the most important mm-hmm. thing. It's more just like a accept it. So I never, growing up, I actually loved it because I felt confident. I felt like, yeah, beauty, there is power that comes from beauty. But I didn't have to worry about being beautiful. I was just like I accepted, as I'm saying this is sounding so egotistical. I'm not meaning to sound egotistical. But like, I wasn't worried. I felt like my parents... were like, yeah, of course you're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's the, like, because the things they talked about the most were the things that were on the inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
My heart, my mind, the value that I had inside of me, mm-hmm. that outward beauty is just like a side dish, mm-hmm. right? Like, it isn't mm-hmm. something you need to obsess over, because it's not the most important thing, nor do you need to think that it isn't even a thing at all. Because I think sometimes if we just, like, I'm never going to mention ever any outward characteristic, then you almost go too far, and like right. you never even learn to harness
mm-hmm.
there is some power there, right? You yeah. know what I mean? So I like it as maybe a side dish is the way to put it, but like just a side dish that's just there. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's just mm-hmm. accept it. You're beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But because of the words that I'm using with my children, I want them, not because I'm going to say, you're beautiful, but it's not, you know, it's not the most important thing all the time, right? But if you add up my words, the things I'm telling them, I want it to be 95% of the things I'm telling them is about stuff that's on the inside of them.
Right.
And when we talk about body and their bodies, or my body, frankly, I think a lot of times we think, and this is with everything, guys, I mean, how often do we say this over and over and over, and research? I mean, Brené Brown says this, that we cannot give something to our children that we don't have,
mm-hmm.
whether that's unconditional love, treating them without shame. We can't do that if we're not doing it to ourselves. And to me, this body image thing hits home for a lot of people, because how can we teach our kids something that we haven't figured out ourselves? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's the same thing of, I want going back to the words, 95% of my words, I want to be about what's on the inside of my kids. And I want them to hear me saying the same thing about myself, right? I am proud that I worked hard at this thing and I finished it and I used grit, right? Like, I want them to hear me saying that about myself just as much as I'm also so proud of myself. And when I talk about my body, I want them to hear me saying things like, the idea here is we're looking at our body as an instrument, not an ornament.
Yeah.
So if you kind of think that is a motto, our bodies are a part of us. So again, it isn't like we're just ignoring the conversation. We're having the conversation, but it's as an instrument, not an ornament. So I want my kids to hear me saying things like, I have been working on pull-ups now for a year, and I am amazed that my body, through practice, I can now lift myself and do, you know, 7 pull-ups. Like, isn't that, I am. I'm proud of that, right? But not constantly like, oh my, look at this definition. Like, because if I'm talking about just the way I look, I'm emphasizing that the purpose of my body is as an ornament and how other people see me. But if I'm looking at it as an instrument, that this is amazing. I mean, even, I ran a marathon a few years ago, and frankly, my body blew me away. That's something that I don't even, I mean, I don't run. Like, I'm not like a runner. I don't necessarily enjoy running, but it was a goal that I had. And I realized that anything we train for, like, our bodies can adapt to a lot of things we didn't, and get strength that we didn't expect. I mean, just watching 3 miles makes you sore, and then later, 3 miles is easy. You know, it's just crazy that if we can show our kids that our bodies are this amazing tool that we can use to experience life with, and if we can just stop being so hung up on only the way it looks, but focus on the way it feels. How does food feel inside of us? How does our muscles feel when we use them? Yeah. How does, when we breathe in air, are we appreciating our amazing lungs? All those kinds of things. We have this whole world of pleasure and joy and accomplishment and pushing through discomfort in a positive, loving way, not in a push through pain way. Those are two different things. But we have this whole thing, this whole like world of lessons we can learn from our bodies ourselves. And I think if we can model that to our kids, specifically to our daughters, who are being told on a daily basis from just still pictures as we drive past them on the freeway to moving pictures on social media and what they're getting from school. I mean, they're going to hear girls saying things like, I just heard this week, a little 11-year-old girl, it makes me want to cry. She said to me, she's like, Taryn, I just gained 4 pounds. And she was like sad. And she's 11, guys. Like, she's still growing. She's like four.
She should be gaining weight.
She's like 4.5 feet tall, right? And I mean, like, I like pulled her aside and we had this conversation about it. But they are getting the message at a super young age that growing isn't okay.
Right.
And it's a shame. So I think we have this amazing, amazing opportunity as mothers and as women to girls who aren't our children to say that, yes, our bodies are amazing, but that as we love our bodies and take care of them from a space of respect, not because of just the way they look, but it's actually, what are we doing on the inside? And then I think anything you do in the, anything they do in the future, if they're approaching their body from that space of, I respect this amazing tool that I have, not, I'm so sad that I gained 4 pounds because I'm growing, or beating themselves up, or even change in our body in general. I mean, we have babies. Our bodies change. My body's changed in hundreds of ways, and some of them look good and some of them don't look good. But guess what? They're all part of the body. The only body that I have is this one. And I think if we can look at it from a space of gratitude, it, I think it just all comes back to, how are we talking about ourselves? How are we talking to our kids? What percentage of words are we using? Comes back to what's on the inside of us. And when we're talking about the outside of us, are we talking about it from a space of respect and what our bodies can do? Not. And even from a food standpoint, I mean, there's been so much research out about this, but like, if you're constantly treating food like a enemy in front of your children, right? Like shaming, like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that Butterfinger. Oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to gain 10 pounds from this or whatever. I really firmly believe that when we treat food like an enemy, that it acts like one.
Right.
Totally.
But food is our friend. Right. And I think that as we come from a space of modeling that, this healthy relationship, that the whole point of us eating this kale in our smoothie is because we love our body, not because we're trying to force it to look a certain way.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And I think it comes down to like the over, because just as you said, from the world, there is such an overemphasis on our outward appearance. There just is. And we get it from everywhere, and our kids are definitely seeing it. And so I think it is important that from us, they're getting the majority is about you as a person, who you are. But I also think it's important to recognize that our bodies are this beautiful, amazing instrument. And I love that metaphor of like it's an instrument rather than an ornament. Because I think there's certain things that we do for an instrument. We still take care of an instrument. We do things to make it, say, a violin. You do things to polish it. You do things to make it look good so that it sounds good, not just so that you can look at it.
And a violin is beautiful.
Right.
You accept its beauty because it is.
Right.
Not because it's its most important feature, though.
Exactly. And so I love that metaphor because I think it's kind of it's a really good way to think of our bodies. It's not that we just take care of them so that they can be looked at and be praised because of what they're looked at. They have so much worth beyond that. And so I love, that's like kind of a good thing. I really like thinking of it in that way. And I do think it's just so interesting because I actually have a lot of really close friends who have really struggled with eating disorders and all sorts of different kinds of them. And I think, obviously it's such a complex issue and I think it's different for every person and there's so much that goes into it. Mm-hmm. But I think, talking to some of these close friends, a common denominator that I felt as I've listened to them is how body image was talked about in their home and how outward appearance maybe was focused on or overemphasized. And so I think it is just something that as mothers and as parents to just be aware of, how are we talking about our own bodies? Are we talking about it as like a gift and from a place of gratitude? And if you don't feel this naturally, it's okay because I think, again, we are so programmed to... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want our bodies to look like this and we want to do this. But I think it's starting and being aware, how do I see my own body? Okay, what am I saying either in my own mind, even if I'm not saying out loud? And then from there, what am I saying is a lot of what I'm saying about my kids? Is it about outward appearance, even about other people? Because I think it is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Me and Cam, a couple years ago, we tried this thing. I didn't even think that we talked about like outward appearances a lot, but like we just made a goal one time that was like, okay, for a whole month, we're just not going to like say anything about any outward appearance of anything. And it's kind of crazy how you almost realize how often you do it. And it wasn't even like we were saying like, oh, look at that person. It was more just like,
oh, they have like, nice hair.
Yeah. Like, it's not even like that they're bad things, but it was more just a good thing to realize, become aware of how much we do. I mean, and it makes sense like that. We see people's outward appearances all the time. So I think it's easy to, but I think that is something that was actually kind of helpful for me. I was like, wow, I didn't realize how much we think about it. And I think even just, it's an interesting goal if you are interested in doing it, to just even become aware of like how much you think about it without even knowing.
When you said that, I think Jeff and I tried that a few years ago, and this is making me want to do it
maybe
again.
Maybe that's where I got it.
I know. I feel like we did, too. It must have been a thing.
Yeah, maybe.
We did.
I definitely heard about it in a podcast of, like, trying something for 30 days, and I think maybe I'd heard you say that, and I was like, oh, let me try that. And it was very interesting.
Remember right, the magic that comes from this exercise of just trying not to comment on people's outward appearance for a month is it makes you look harder. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to look deeper. You have to look into people's eyes and see what they're feeling. And it's just it's kind of like anytime you're actually just noticing what you're doing. Sometimes it's alarming, actually, being like, oh my gosh, do I only make comments about how people look? Because when you're paying attention to it, you realize how much you're doing it. Mm-hmm. So, wow, I actually really like that idea. Because our kids do hear us. If we're at a park and we say something negative about somebody else and how they look, they're going to hear that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can hear in my mind some of you thinking right now, okay, well, what if I have a terrible relationship with my own body? Where do we go from here? Yeah, it's easy to like hear this conversation and think, okay, well, great. So I don't have a great relationship with my body. Where do we go? So here's a couple of tools just to throw out. And we'll keep throwing out tools throughout this episode and you take what you think will serve you, okay? One, Kaylin mentioned eating disorders. somebody who we both love so much almost died from an eating disorder a few years ago. And I remember asking her, okay, as a mom, you know, my girls were tiny. And I was like, what can I do? I don't even understand. Like, I have never experienced this. Help me learn through your experience. Is there anything I can do as a mother to help my daughters navigate this world and hopefully avoid an eating disorder? And she said to read Intuitive Eating, which we will link. And we've talked about intuitive eating a lot, actually.
We have an episode on this
book. We have an entire episode about intuitive eating. So, but we'll link it in the show notes as well. But it's such a good, if you're like, I don't even know where to start here with my relationship with food and how to have it be healthy, it is the best book I've ever read about. Actually, when I read it, I thought, this is how my mom taught me. I never knew how to articulate it. Like when my husband would ask me, he's like, I don't even get it. What do you mean? Be mindful and enjoy your food? What? How is that a tactic? You know, because like we'll talk about stuff and he's like, how are you staying healthy? And, you know, and he was kind of like having a struggle with going up and down. I'm like, I don't know. This is what I do. And he's like, that doesn't sound like a tactic to me. But if you read this book, it actually is a tactic. Yeah. And I'm like, this is how my
trust our bodies.
Yeah. It's just a matter of trusting. You trust and you honor your own hunger. And you honor your own satisfaction as well, and mindfulness. And it's a really beautiful approach to food. Mm-hmm. But it's how my mom, without reading the book, it's how my mom raised me, which I'm so grateful for. And so if you're thinking, okay, hold on, I wasn't raised like that, it's a great place to start. The second place, the second tool I would say is journal down. Like if you're thinking, oh my goodness, this is like I'm not feeling this. Try writing down your thoughts about your own body. So I feel like food is my enemy. I can't control myself. You know, my weight is too little or too much. I don't know. I don't know whatever you're saying to yourself. But you just write down. So just write the statements that you're saying to yourself. And then the power with thought work, it's amazing. You can't force yourself to think anything, right? Thoughts just come. But when you become aware of them and you realize that your thoughts are not you, you get that space. It's like stepping back and seeing them clearly. And then you try on new thoughts. So you'll write something like, food is valuable to me. Mm-hmm. Food gives my body health.
Fuel.
Yeah. Fuel, whatever. So you write like, so you'll write next to your negative thought, a positive one. And then you just try it on, guys. It's so cool. You just try on the thought. And you think to yourself, this is coming from Byron Katie. But you say to yourself, who would I be if I couldn't have this negative thought? And you just try on that feeling. Like, if I couldn't think that there's something wrong with my body, if I could only think that my body is just the way it should be because it's mine, how would that feel? And you just, like, try on the feeling. Mm-hmm. So the cool thing when you try on thoughts, you feel the feeling and your brain starts connecting. Wait, hold on. I like that feeling.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try thinking that thought. So it's just awareness by journaling it down, trying on a new thought, and trying on the feeling. What if I couldn't think the negative thought and could only think the positive one? And it's not a forceful thing. This is like a curiosity thing.
Yeah.
And it's...
And I think... And one of the questions that she says to ask yourself... There's a few. I mean, and her book is amazing, and there's a few different things. But one of the questions that you can ask yourself is this thought as true or truer than the other thought? And sometimes you might try on a thought that it's like, no, I don't think that's true. Like, but sometimes you're like, no, that could be just as true, if not truer. Like, that might be true. So I think the cool thing is that it's like, we all tell our... We're constantly telling ourselves thoughts all the time, and it's the fact that like that could be true, but also there are other thoughts that could be just as true, if not more true. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of it is very liberating. And so it sounds very sometimes it sounds almost very simple, but it is crazy that sometimes you can try on a different thought and be like, no, that like that's true, and I can take on this thought. Yes. And help it be myself. Yes.
Her book is called Loving What Is. We'll also link it, but yeah, it's joyous. I love saying to myself, consider the possibility that this could also true? Be truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or just asking yourself, is it true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this true?
Because sometimes you can even be like, that's actually not true. Like mm-hmm. this whole thought that I've been telling myself, it's like that your body is, you know, if you're telling yourself that your body is, you know, a right. detriment to yourself, it's like, is that true? And when you really think about it, it's like, actually, maybe it's not. Anyway, mm-hmm. so it can be great. Yeah.
I also think that looks themselves are such a limiting way to look at ourselves, our value. If that's what we're putting our value on, like we said, it's maybe a sprinkling on the top or a side dish. It's so limiting. And when I got thinking about this, I thought about, you know, we are going to be talking to a sex therapist coming up here in a couple episodes. But I think of as women, a lot of us have this, like, we feel a little inhibited with our bodies and our sexualities. And I think it's all tied back to this feeling we've limited ourselves to these ideals that change constantly throughout centuries. So it's really quite weird that we limit them.
Right. The ideal of beauty, if you look at, like, art from centuries past, it is not the same ideal.
Exactly.
Their bodies were totally different, but that was what was beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it's literally just what's in style, and we're trying to shape right. our bodies to be what's in style.
It's and weird. Even now in different parts of the world, like even now,
right.
you like look at different parts of the world, and I think we could be like, oh, that's interesting that they really, like, you know, like the rings on your neck thing. That
oh,
they, like,
yes.
Do things. Uh-huh. There's like certain things where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, for them that's beautiful, but for us we're like, that's so weird. That doesn't right. seem very healthy. But then right. you could look at many things that we do in our culture, and it's like, oh, that's oh, really that's not healthy. And why do we do that?
Right.
Like,
it's, right. Anyway. It's just so limited, and I think it prevents us from feeling our bodies and being fully, like, human mm-hmm. and right. free and mm-hmm. acknowledging all of our contributions, valuing mm-hmm. ourselves for those, and then we're in this little, again, like the cage thing where people aren't seeing our true beauty, because it's not just looks. That's just like a little tiny thing on the mm-hmm. side,
yeah.
and it's so limited. Mm-hmm. And then we, again, are inhibited, because if our body is not exactly what this random ideal that somebody else is telling us, if they're not looking like that, then we aren't feeling confident in them and allowing ourselves to fully enjoy mm-hmm. the pleasures of the body that we do have.
Yes, mm-hmm. because in sexuality, part of it is you are sharing your body with somebody right. else. And if you don't feel like there's value, or if you're not happy with mm-hmm. how you're looking, mm-hmm. it's difficult to share that.
Right.
Instead of just accepting, this is the body that I have, and whatever it looks like, mm-hmm. I can feel mm-hmm. this, and this, mm-hmm. and there's beauty in the sharing of it.
Right.
You're right. Those two are totally connected. That's a beautiful way to look at it.
Which is, it is freeing, though, if you can recognize it. At least to me, when I first thought about that, I thought, oh, I can find value in other places and acknowledge my human, I mean, there's so many things with being human and a woman, from periods and birth and, you know, messy hair, and we all smell bad sometimes. And I feel like all those things are portrayed as wrong. Like, that's not the ideal. But if we can embrace being human, I think we can relax and share and be more open. Mm-hmm. So back to our, if we're looking at our daughters and how we can help them have a stronger body image that's not just connected to looks. I think if we can focus on empowering them to grow and to be strong, this is something that I've noticed with my boys. Mm. That is a repeated narrative that we tell boys, you know, like, yes, eat this, it'll make you grow stronger and bigger and you'll be able to jump higher. And I don't know necessarily if we subconsciously always give that same message to girls. And it sounds like the little girl that you just talked to, she had subconsciously gotten the message that she shouldn't grow and become stronger, even though mm-hmm. she probably is going to double in her size, and right. she should. Right. Like, her body is still growing. I think that's really a disservice to our girls, because we should love that about our bodies, that they can grow and get stronger. And in, so Glennon Doyle, both of her books, Love Warrior and Untamed, she talks about feeling the pressure to mm-hmm. almost disappear.
Mm-hmm. To stay, like, small.
Yes, mm-hmm. stay small.
Live become small.
Thinner and thinner.
Live small, be small, mm-hmm. act small, mm-hmm. all of it small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a message that our culture can give us as women. So if you can buck that message with your daughters, encourage them to play, become stronger, to grow, I think that can really be helpful.
Have you guys seen the research thing where they had girls come in and they'd say, run like a girl?
Oh,
and
yeah.
little girls run, like, when they're just, you know, running uh-huh. in place, and they look like they're trying hard. Like, they're, like, mm-hmm. running really fast, and they have boys and girls do this. And it's so sweet and so innocent. And then around the age of 10, both boys and girls somehow switch to, when you say run like a girl, they start, like, flailing their arms, or, like, throw like a girl, and they, like, throw it all funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so something mm-hmm. happens around the age of 10 where somehow our girls and our boys are not getting the message that girls can be mm-hmm. strong and powerful in their own way. And I'm not saying the boys and girls are the same. I'm saying that we can still step into our own power as girls, and that we shouldn't be ashamed of our own strength.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that running like a girl should be powerful. Running our best, right? Not staying small because it's not feminine enough.
Right.
And one of my best friends growing up, apparently this is a very emotional subject for me because this is the second time I'm crying in this episode. One of my best friends growing up was not a very feminine girl. Like, I don't know if the term is acceptable now, but when we were kids, like, she'd always say that she was a tomboy. Mm-hmm. She'd, like, say it herself. And, I mean, she, like, walked different than all the other girls, and she was so athletic and so good. But something I loved about her is that she, like, never didn't like it. Like, she was like, I love it that I can run as fast as the boys, and she was really good at soccer, and I think of, like, what a shame it would have been had her parents, or she was just kind of impermeable, I feel like, to most people's opinions of her. Like, she was just, like, one of those free spirits that just, like, lives how she wanted. Her name was Lindsay, and anyway, but I think of, like, what a shame had she gotten that message as a little girl, that, like, you should be walking more femininely, or you shouldn't run so fast, or be so strong, and it would have been a shame, because who she was just perfect. So, I don't know. I think, again, as parents, we may not be able to change the world's messages, but we can sure change it in our own house.
Right.
That, yeah, you can be powerful, and you can be whatever you are. And if you walk super feminine, like with a sway in your hips, great. And if you walk kind of with a strut, because that's how you walk, that's great too. But I think it's my new favorite poem. But it's, like, my theme now, and Kaylin keeps, like, saying it to me. It's from Glennon Doyle's book, Untamed, and it says, it's from a poem by Hafiz, and we'll talk about it in a different episode deeper, but the whole point of this poem is called Dropping Keys, and if we're living our lives, are we making cages for people, or are we freeing people? And I think this totally approaches, this totally is how I think of when I think of my daughters. I want them to live free. Like, can we just free them from all these cages that we're putting around them all the time? And I think part of that is just accepting who they are and letting them know that we see them. Like, we see the inside of them and we value that, and that's what we're talking about, is the love that we have for them inside, whoever they are, and all the other stuff, the outward stuff, it is a side dish, right? And I think, again, I'm going to reemphasize here, when we are talking to other adults, this is the time I hear it the very most. I hear parents say stuff to their kids like, oh, you know, you've lost some weight or whatever. I hear them say that, and yeah, it's kind of cringy, but I hear it way more, parents talking to other adults in front of their children about their kids' looks. Like, oh yeah, she changed the way she ate, and look at her now. I mean, look at that. Look at her waist. Oh my gosh. You know what I mean? Like, you hear that all the time. Like, I hear that way more than parents just saying it directly to their kids.
Yeah.
So I think even when our kids are toddlers, and I'm not talking just body image issues here. This applies to when our toddlers are little, when we're talking to other adults, they hear what we're saying about them. Are we saying things like, this is my difficult child? How often do you hear that, right?
Right.
This is my difficult child right here. You know, yeah, he's just so strong-willed. I mean, what your child is hearing is, I am not okay who I am, and I'm difficult, right? Who I am is too much, right? Yep. So I think anytime, whatever we're talking about, let's just all be mindful. When we're talking to other adults in front of our kids about our kids, what messages are we sending them?
Totally. I really loved, I think, like, with the daughters thing, I think you had a quote just recently that I really liked, that you said something like, oh, it really, like, hit home for me, that it was that we tell girls, oh, just basically the idea of it is, like, that we tell girls, like, that they're to be looked at. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, and I really liked it because I think sometimes we don't really put that on boys, like we said, as much. I mean, that's not to say never, but not as much. And I think it's interesting because I think as girls, as you grow up and as you get older, you do pay attention to how other people see you. And I think that sometimes that can be a good thing. Like, you maybe see the power and, like, maybe how you look. But also I think it can be a detriment as well. And again, I think as parents, we have the ability to be aware of our narrative and kind of what we're saying. And I think this is just what I think, and, like, seeing little girls in my life and then being a little girl growing up, I think it's easy to see, like, I think, like, naturally as women, we're really able, and Jennifer Finlayson Five says this, but we're really able to see, like, we're very in tune to other people's needs and also in tune to, like, how other people are maybe acting. I think it's, like, it's a gift that women and girls, I think, that we have. But I think sometimes, like, it's very easy for girls to, like, see, like, oh, I'm getting value or worth from how I look and how I'm acting. Maybe that I'm being more feminine or more this or more this. And it can be easy, I think, as we grow up to try and fit into that. And so I think, anyway, I just really liked the, like, if we are telling our girls that, like, yeah, this and this, that, like, how they look is so important. I don't know. I love this. Yeah, if you can read it.
So the quote she's talking about is from Beauty Redefined, which they are on Instagram. They also have a book that's really great that we can link. It's called More Than a Body. And they're two PhDs who have spent a lot of time researching this concept that we're talking about. So this quote is from them. It says, Girls learn that the most important thing about themselves is how they look. I would add there, I put in beautiful subconsciously because there is much more to beauty than what's on the outside, right? The true beauty is so deep. Boys learn that the most important thing about girls is how they look. Girls look at themselves. Boys look at girls. Girls are held responsible for boys looking. Girls change how they look. Boys keep looking. The problem isn't how girls look. The problem is how everyone looks at girls. Solve the problem by teaching everyone that girls don't exist to be looked at.
Yeah.
That just like boys, there's the outside of us, and there's the surface, and then there's way more inside. Like, I mean, I think it's, again, kind of naive to say that we just don't notice outside at all, right? Because, of course, that's how we see with our eyes. But I think, is there a way to, starting with ourselves and then the way we talk, is there a way to get across to our kids that 99% of the beauty of people is something you can't even see?
Right.
I just had this big epiphany that's kind of spooking me out that I'm sure many people have thought of, but as we're talking about this and we wanted to bring up why social media exacerbates this. And if you think about social media, there are no, well, if there are, they're very few, and I haven't heard of them. And if you know them, send them to me. Male influencers talking about makeup and clothes and presenting themselves for their looks. That is the whole point of social media and the point of, I'm not saying anything is wrong with
these accounts. They'll show their muscles because they're strong, right? And their fitness workouts.
Right. There's and their hikes men like and that. Their moose that they shot. Their activities.
Yeah, their activities.
Their activities. But most accounts that are social media based that we all follow and like, love, are all looks centric. They are. What your home looks like, which is a byproduct of your styling, how you style yourself, how you are an ornament, how you decorate yourself. It's all based on looks. All of those people have intrinsic value that we do not know. Mm-hmm. They're all amazing, valuable people, and we know nothing about them. We put all their value on their worth, and they are receiving all that acknowledgement for their worth and
for their outward image.
Sorry.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. For their looks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then think of that. I think that is really a scary feeling because we've all felt it. If at some time in our lives we feel valuable for our looks and people are acknowledging that and liking it, it can go away at any moment.
In fact, we actually are all aging.
Every single day we age. Right. We have a baby, we gain weight, and maybe we're less than the media's ideal, like what we should look like. That is social media in a nutshell. And so it's no wonder why right now girls are so much more anxious and depressed and suicidal and have eating disorders, because we're telling them that how many followers they have and how many people like
how liked
what
they
look like is their worth. And that's scary to me.
Yeah.
It really just makes me really double down on the delaying of social media. If I look at myself when I was 13 in comparison to what girls look like now at 13, because the world is telling them telling them what they should look like. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know a clothing brand or a, and it's not because I don't like those things now. It wasn't my interest. It was no one was telling me who I should be or what I should look like based on how much they liked it.
Right. In fact, people, well, if your junior high experience was like mine, people were telling you, but it was at least only the people who you came in contact with during the day.
Yes. Right? Yes. Physical contact.
I mean, I had a lot of people being like, I mean, I wore Doc Martens and they're not even comfortable. Like, you guys know me. I don't even like shoes. And if I do wear shoes, they have to bend a lot. But like, I was wearing these like thick shoes because they were people who in my circle said they were cool, right? But now imagine an entire world. In fact, I can hear Colin Karchner's voice in my mind. He just passed away this week, guys, and I'm so sad about it. But he, on our interview, said, imagine being a teenager, all the things that we experienced, all that peer pressure, all that desire to conform with just the humans that we interacted with, which is dozens or hundreds, depending on how big your peer group was. But now millions of people on the interwebs who, in the scale of humanity, you're seeing people who, like, I mean, you can make it so that you're only seeing like 0.0001% of people who look like this. But on your feed, it looks like everybody looks like this.
Right.
Right.
And not only are they not just seeing it at school, now they can see that at home, in their bed. They can see it at all hours of the day. Yeah. So it's not just like they get to come home and have a reprieve like we the rest of us did when we got home from school. It's like if they have a phone, they're seeing it all the time.
Which and is I think scary. That's what's so important. Delay, delay, delay. If you ever give your kids, let your kids have social media. It's like scaring me now. And also creating that boundary of peace in your home. And it's modeling also where it's like, if we do have phones, we just all put them away. And we have 10 or 12 uninterrupted hours where people aren't telling us how to be.
Yeah.
I think that would be so freeing as a kid. And we all had that and took it for granted. But now they're performing all day.
Yeah. You have to create that.
And we need to protect it as the parents. We need to protect that space for them.
Yeah. And I think the research is super clear. Colin shares this and all the research I've done. Teenagers, their brains are simply not developed enough to be able to handle social media. It's it's too much. And we're seeing from suicide rates that it's not working. So parents, we have power. Take your power.
Let's do this.
And I think the cool thing is that it's not just moms. We've also talked about how important it is just like the men in our children's lives, whether it's an uncle, whether it's a father, but then also the other women in our children's lives. So aunts, like I can think of like, you think that your aunt is cool more than you'll ever think your mom is cool. And I think it's important to like realize that we also have influence on people that aren't just our kids, and then recognizing like pulling in that, for lack of a better word, like the tribal power of your tribe to be able to like help your kids build this confidence. And especially with, again, with daughters, I think that influence that they get from other women and seeing how other women see themselves or the type of praise, for lack of a better word, that they might get from other women, but also from men and how important that can be. I think back to like me growing up, I was so grateful that my dad, he was involved, but, and he was so, I definitely felt worth from him. Like he valued me as a person. He did see me as strong. He saw me as all of these things. And that was so helpful. And I think that we can pull on those influences for our own children. Whether your child's father is involved in your child's life or not, I think there are ways to pull in influences and power from our tribe. We all have a tribe and like pulling in on that.
And not minimizing the power you have to influence the kids in your own life who aren't your own children.
Right,
exactly. It's huge. And as you were saying that, Caitlin, I was thinking to myself, again, I can hear some of you thinking right now. So I didn't get that message from my dad, right? Our dad was pretty special. I don't know if any of my friends had a dad who gave the same message. Well, nobody did because all dads are different. But as I grew up, I realized that most of my girlfriends were not, they were either getting a super image-based view from their dads, like that he just like talked weirdly amounts about only their looks, or no feedback at all really about them, and they always questioned their worth. Or I had many friends also who had really toxic dads who actually just gave them the message over and over and over that they did need to stay small and that anything they did was too much. My mom got that message from her dad, that anything she did was too much emotion, too much voice, mm-hmm. too much personality, too much strength, all of those things. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you might have had parents who told you all those things. So the question is, where do you start? If you didn't get the right tape as a kid, mm-hmm. right? If your parents didn't give you the message mm-hmm. that you are worthwhile for who you are on the inside, not just who you are on the outside, or the opposite of you hate who you are on the outside because your parents gave you negative information about yourself, where do you start? And the tool I would say here is, we as adults have the power to reparent ourselves. So it's recognizing the tape. So when I say tape, I just mean the thing that plays over and over in your head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The voice that you hear in your head saying, you're not enough, you're undeserving, you're not beautiful, you will never, oh, this one. Oh my gosh, guys, I have somebody coming to my mind right now and it makes me so sad. An entire family that I love dearly. The memo was, you are never going to be lovable. You don't deserve a man who will actually cherish you, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe you had a mother who was treated badly by the man in her life, and somehow you internalize the message that you therefore never deserve a man who will respect you. And that memo is a really strong memo, right? It's hard to change. It's not hard, actually. No, it's not. It's not hard. It just takes awareness. So a tool here, if you want to try it out, is you write down the tape, write down what memo that voice is coming into your head, and you say to yourself, that was wrong that I got that message as a kid. It's not truth. I'm going to not let it, like, I'm not going to keep saying it to myself. Okay, so you write it down. This is the memo that I'm getting. Let's try on something else. So you write the opposite next to it. And a little exercise you can actually try doing that I think is super powerful. Take a few deep breaths. You can get into a relaxed state. I'm talking, this is easy, 5 deep breaths, okay? You picture yourself as a child in front of you. So you're actually picturing it, and then you actually say the opposite. So you say to yourself as a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 16-year-old who was struggling with an eating disorder, right? You actually like look at her in the eyes with your mind and you say something like, you got the message that you were not small enough, or you got the message that you didn't deserve love, or you got the message that who you were wasn't right, that you had to be somebody else. And what I'm telling you now is that you are just who you're supposed to be because that is you. Mm-hmm. Or the size you were then, or the size, any size you ever are, is worthy. Whatever it is, whatever the opposite of that negative memo you were receiving, you can actually tell yourself that. Imagine it, and then at the end, you end with, again, 5 deep breaths coming back. You can give that child a hug in your mind, but it is so healing to realize as an adult that you can go back and re-parent yourself, because the world is full of imperfect parents who sometimes maliciously hurt their children and sometimes, oftentimes, unintentionally mm-hmm. really hurt their children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So identifying those tapes and trying on the other thoughts and actually going inside yourself, reparenting yourself, you have the power at any age you are. I don't care if you're 70 and you've already raised your kids and you have grandkids, or you want to be able to have a conversation with your 50-year-old child saying, I want to redo this part. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We have that kind of power we can't change past circumstances. We sure can change a lot of things that are happening on the inside of us and the narratives that we're telling ourselves and the narratives we're telling other people.
And it all starts with us loving and accepting our worth in order for us to teach it to our daughters and our sons. All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us. Let's find the magic. For those of our listeners in Utah, which I know there are a lot, I wanted to share a super applicable resource, and that is Utah House Doctors. You can find them at Instagram at Utah House Doctors or on their website at utahhousedoctors.com. Right now in this hot market, it seems like a lot of people are attempting to sell their homes on their own, and they're missing out on selling their home at a much higher price, as well as the marketing power of a real estate agent and website. Utah House Doctors in Utah is one of the top sellers here, and I can tell you from personal use that they are such an amazing team, so many good resources and skill as well if you are looking to buy a home. So I encourage you to check them out. If you are in Utah, that's utahhousedoctors.com or on Instagram at utahhousedoctors. Hey guys, this is Felicia. I just wanted to give a quick thank you to all of you who listen. I really feel inspired and close to our community. We got a new review this week and it says, "Ladies, I cannot tell you how much I look forward to each episode you produce. I love the truth you all share and real examples of how to begin and attain conscious parenting. I always walk away feeling inspired and ready to take on any task. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and truths." And I just have to say, it means so much to us when you guys leave reviews, not to mention helps us. So if you feel so inclined to leave a review, just open Find the Magic podcast in your podcast app. Scroll to the bottom of the page, click on write a review, and tap the stars to rate us and give us some feedback. We love to go here to find questions for episodes and to connect with all of you on what you're wanting us to research and distill and share. It just really means so much, and we make this podcast for you. So thank you all. Don't forget to hit send on your review. All right, let's find the magic.